Okay. Boker Tov, everyone. We're starting a new parak this morning. We're on the bottom of 25B. Cafe Amud Bet. And let's roll. Okay, we're in a new Mishnah, a new parak. So the Mishnah starts off. You've been discussing Sefer Torahs, right? Kriyas HaTorah, and we do Kriyas HaTorah in Shul, and therefore the new parak starts to begin talking about Shuls and Torahs and the Kedusha that they hold, since we were talking about Kriyas HaTorah, that's the connection to the next parak. B'nei Ha'ir, Shemachru Rechova Shel Ir, Lokim B'dam of Beis HaKnesses. So if you look at the very first Rashi on the left side, who are Bnei Ha'ir? What is it? What's going on here? Bnei Ha'ir Shemachru Rechova Shel Ha'ir. But Bnei Ha'ir, the people, the townspeople, that they sold the town square, basically. Well, what the heck does that have to do with Kedusha and Shuls? So Rashi explains, Yesh Bo Kedusha, that the town square also is a holy place. Why? Because as the Gemara will explain later, we'll see in a bit, that they gather in the town square to pray there during Taneos, when they're fasting. They're probably fasting because there's not enough rain. We know the Gemara and Tanis tells us all sorts of procedures about the rain, and you have one fast day, and then more fast days, and then you have more public outcries, and yada yada. And the Ma'amados, we'll explain that also in a little bit, in a further Rashi. So anyways, the Bnei Ir, so the people, the townspeople, they sold the town square. Shel'ir, what do they do with the money? Lokhim b'damav, they take the money, and they can buy a Beit HaKnesset, they can buy a shul. Now the Gemara keeps on giving different things that you buy. The idea here being that if you sell something holy, that money still has the Kedusha from basically in replace of the item you sold, and you can only buy something holier. You can't buy something less holy. Malin b'kodesh v'ein morin, you can only go up in holiness, you cannot go down. Beis HaKnesset lokhim teva. If you sold a shul, you can buy an Aron Kodesh, but you can't, right? Teva lokhin mit pachot. If you sold an Aron Kodesh, then you could buy shrouds and other cloths, for example, like a parochas. Mit pachot, if you sold the parochet, yiklu svarim. You could buy books. Books does not mean books we see on our shelves. Books means scrolls. And Rashi points out here, the first Rashi on the page, lokhin svarim, nevi'im uksuvim. Right? You could buy tanachs, but not tanach like from art scroll, buy a cloth. Right? Like a Megillah that you read, or any other books in Tanakh that could be written out by a Sofer. Sfarim lokhim Torah. If you sold a Megillah or other Sfarim, you could buy a Sefer Torah. How will they be the same cost? Aval imachru Torah, lo yikhu Sfarim. Right? If you sold a Torah, you cannot go ahead and buy a Megillah. Sfarim lo yikhu mitpachot. If you sold a Megillah, you can't buy a Parochet. Mitpachot lo yikhu Teva. If you sold a Parochet, you cannot buy an Aron. Teva lo yikhu Beis HaKnesses. If you sold an Aron, you can't buy a Shul. Beit HaKnesset lo yichu rachov. If you sold a shul, you can't buy a town square. Basically, you can only go up, as we mentioned, you can't go down. It ends off the Mishnah, v'chen v'mosrehen. Also with the leftovers. What does that mean? Look at the Rashi. Three lines into the short lines. Machru sfarim v'lakhu mimiksat adamim Torah. If you sold, let's say you sold, 100 Megillahs, 1,000 Megillahs, right? You sold, and you had extra money left over, right? You sold the Megillahs, you bought a Sefer Torah, but then you had change. Lo yikhu mina mosar davar shekdusha sopachosa. Right? You can't say, well, I did what I was supposed to do. I sold 200 Megillahs, I bought a Sefer Torah, I have extra money left over, okay, I'm going to spend that and go to the ball game. No, you can't, right? All the money is Kodesh, not just the money that you spend. So you have to figure out a way to spend 100% of it on something that is more holy. The Gemara begins. And the Gemara, first of all, what exactly is a teva? So it seems to be a machlokas between the Ran and the Beis Yosef. The Ran suggests a teva is an Aron Kodesh, that's what I've been saying. But the Beis Yosef says, no, that is just a bima. Right? And that a bima, since it also holds the Torah, would actually be much more chashav than many of these things. So now the Gemara starts off. B'nei Ha'ir Shemachu Rechova Shel Ir, right? Talking about the Mishnah, the townspeople sold the town square. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zo Divrei Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosi Shestum Sa'a. Right? This is the words of Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosi, and it was a stuma, meaning he said the statement, no one disagreed with him, and he's the author, supposedly, of many, many stumot, where you have a statement with no disagreement, and therefore it's assumed that everyone agrees. Aval, says the Gemara, Chachamim Omrim, Harachov ein bo mishum kedusha. And here, even though the Mishnah only quoted one opinion, there really are other opinions. And that other opinion is that the Chachamim think that actually the Rehov is a town square. A town square is not a holy place. It's just a town square. It doesn't have any Kedusha whatsoever. So what's this Machlokas about? Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi Ma'itame. Why does he think it does have Kedusha? Right? It's a town square. It's not a shul. Hoyol v'amispalim bo taniyos ma'amados. As we mentioned, look at Rashi here. Hoyol amispalim bo taniyos ma'amados. That the congregation, the community joins together there for fast days and for ma'amados. It's a long Rashi, but we'll skim it and explain. Because it's not b'maseches tanis. As we said, maseches tanis. Avru elu v'lonanu. If you had some fast days and you did some stuff to get rain and you were not answered, no rain came. Motzin as a table derachov shalair. You actually go ahead and take the Aron Kodesh out of the shul and you bring it into the streets, into the town square. And the Tosefta there says, "Ba'amados tznan michsasim be'aran ve'korim b'maisa bereishis." What are ma'amados? We know we have mishmaros. Right? Mishmaros are the 24 groups that the Kohanim are broken into. Basically, each one takes two shifts a year. And so the Kohanim go up to the base of Mikdash and they work for their week. However, the problem is that we learn that when there's a korban brought on behalf of the congregation, really the whole congregation has to be there. However, every day we bring a korban on behalf of the congregation, the daily tamid in the morning and the tamid ben arbaim in the afternoon, right? Obviously, and not everyone in Israel can be in the Beis Mikdash every single day. That would not be very practical. So instead, we have ma'amados. Ma'amados is that all Jews, probably all Jews only in the land of Israel, are divided into 24 groups, and every week they switch. So you have a mishmar of Kohanim, right? 1/24 of the Kohanim are there, and really 1/24 of the Jews are supposed to be there as well. But the difference is that not actually everyone in that ma'amad has to actually go to the Beis Hamikdash. They can actually stay in their local city, and these Kohanim would gather, regular Jews would gather in their town squares, and they would kind of like pray and have in mind that they're the Jews representing the rest of the Jews of what's going on in Yerushalayim. Mm. The problem is, though, if you read this Rashi carefully, which we won't spend time on right now, it seems not so clear they actually gathered in the town square. Maybe they gathered in shul. And actually, it says here at the very, very bottom of the Rashi, if you look here, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Halevi Matzasi Ba'amados Lo Garsinan Mefar Shelo Haisat Tfilasan Berachov Adkan. Actually, this, he quotes Rabbeinu Yitzchak Halevi, who says that word in Ma'amados is not really even the proper girsa, not the proper text. That word's not even supposed to be there. And so maybe the Ma'amados have really nothing to do with this at all. So anyways, Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi, his idea was that the Ma'amados are part of Kedusha that the town square has Kedusha because they gather there for fast days and they gather there for these Ma'amados. Rabbanan how akre ba'alman. The Rabbanan said, no, it's just a cry. Every once in a while you need this fast day and your regular tefillah didn't work, so you gathered in the town square. But the fact that they gathered there once in a while, right, doesn't make it a holy place. You know, the fact that they gather in the streets to celebrate when the team wins the NBA championship or the Super Bowl, the Stanley Cup, does not make it a football stadium. Right? You gather there once every 10 years when your team wins. So it doesn't add, you can't say that that's therefore Makom Kadosh because they gather there sometimes. Good. That's the machlokas there. Next. Now it goes on to the next part of the Mishnah. Beis HaKnesses Lokhin Teva. If you sold a shul, you have to take that money and buy something holier, for example, an Aron Kodesh. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Lo Shanu Ela Beis HaKnesses Shel Kfarim. Lo Beis HaKnesses Shel Krachin. Kevan Dema'alma Oso Le. Sorry, Kevan Dema'alma Oso Le. Lo Matsu Mizavne Le. So he brings back us into the distinction between Kfarim and Krachim, which you remember from earlier in the Masechta, when we discussed the days of the week in which you can read the Megillah, right? That the farmers read in one day, and this urban people in the cities read another day. He says there's another difference between the cities and the urban people. And he says that difference is based on the shuls. He says people in the farms, they have their shul. They have their shuls just for them, right? No one's going out to, you know, Tannersville to go to shul. If you live there, you go there. If you don't live there, you don't go there. But New York City, right? A shul in big metropolitan areas in LA, in Chicago, Miami, right? People are coming there. People travel through there. People visit there. And so the lashon that the Gemara uses is that shel krachin of big cities, kevan dime alma asule. Those shuls are not really just built for the people who live in New York City. They're really built for the whole world. They're for the world, ma'alma. Lo matzu mezavni le, dehavu le derabim. They actually are never allowed to sell them. The townspeople in little farmland, in little, you know, Hicksville, they could sell their shul. But the people in big cities are not allowed to sell their shul because they don't really own it. It's really owned by everyone in the whole, because everyone in the whole world uses it. Amar Rav Ashi, Hai Beik Nishta, Demasa Machsaya, Afagav de ma'alma asile kevan de adata diti kasu I be'ine mezavninale. So this is not the most humble statement in the world. Rav Ashi says that the shul in my city called Machsaya, right? He says even though it's a big city and even though de ma'alma asule, it's really for the whole world. People come to my city. He says kevan de adata diti katu. So they don't come to my city of Machsaya because they're passing through because it's New York because it's on the way to the ball game. No, they come there to visit me. I'm the main attraction. Rav Ashi says, I'm the main attraction of this city, and therefore, everything runs by what I say. So if I say sell the shul, we could sell the shul, because they're coming only for me, and if I'm not going to be here anymore, they're not going to come. Okay, so that's one exception to this distinction between cities and farmland Rav Ashi brings down. Now we have a meisve. We have a kasha on this whole concept of separating cities and farmland. Meisve that brings a brisa that contradicts this idea. Amar of Yehuda meisve besa knesses shel torsim. What are torsim? Look in the Rashi. It's a little bit farther down the page than the actual word. Torsim are tzorfei nechoshes. Right? Torsim are the copper refiners. And you have this thing where he says it's okay to sell the shul of the copper refiners. Why? Amar Yehuda meisve besa knesses shel torsim shehaya b'Yerushalayim. They're in Yerushalayim, i.e., they're in a major metropolitan area. They're in a big city. That city should therefore, that those shuls should technically therefore be visited and owned by the whole world. They're for use of the whole world. They should be non-sellable, right? Because big city shuls can't be sold. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda says there was a meisa where the copper refiners who lived in Jerusalem, shemachru l'Rebbe Eliezer, they sold their shul to Rebbe Eliezer. And not for Rebbe Eliezer to make his own shul. No, they sold him for a personal residence. He could do whatever he wanted there, i.e. not only holy things, it was his house. He could take a bath there, he could do whatever he wanted there, right? So we seem to have a maisa where they did sell a shul in a big city. You just told me you can't sell shuls in a big city. How do these two work together? It was in a big city. I thought we don't sell those. So the Gemara kind of gives two answers. He says two points, which the Mefarshim explain are two answers. He says, first of all, it's a small shul, and they made it for themselves. They erected it for themselves. So what's explained is that either this was not just any random shul in Jerusalem, it was the shul for the copper refiners. It was their own little shtibel. You know, it sounds like you had the shul for the blacksmiths, and you had the shul for the this, and the shul for the shoemakers.
Well, it makes sense because the industry may be located in a particular part of the city.
It's very possible. But so the Mefarshim explained two things. One, it was only built for them, right? There were other big shuls in Jerusalem. This was a small little shtibel. This was not the tourist place. The tourists went to the great synagogue. They didn't go to the shul for the copper refiners, right? That was their own little thing. So if they want to sell it, it's not really for the world at large. Basically, you can have a small town, you can have a farmland or small town shul in a big city. Right? And number two is that maybe the point is the second point, that Inu Avdua, they erected it themselves. They paid for it. It was not paid for by communal funds. Right? If 10 guys get together and one guy buys a shul, it's his shul. He can do whatever he wants with it. If you raise money and you start saying tzedakah, tzedakah, right, from random people, then random people are part of the ownership structure, and therefore you cannot sell it. But in this case, if this trade association built it, then they can do what they'd like with it. Another kasha on this idea. Meisvei. But based eretz, the quotes you a pasuk, right? And a pasuk actually about the laws of tzara'at. But beit eretz achuzatchem, right? What is it? It tells you that the house, we're talking about there's many types of tzara'as. We normally think of people getting tzara'as, but we remember from the Torah that houses, right, can also get tzara'as. It's a famous thing. They found tzara'as in the house. They dug and they found money inside the walls. That whole midrash there, fine. So here the pasuk says, based eretz achuzatchem, in order for a house to get tzara'as, it can't be a house here in Florida. Has to be a house in Eretz Achuz Aschem, an Eretz in the land that you own, that is given to you. So says the Gemara, Achuz Aschem, mitzmeh ben agayim. Right? If the house is on land that is your ownership, then it can get a nega, it can get tzaras. The ein Yerushalayim, mitzmeh ben agayim, but houses in Yerushalayim cannot get negayim. So therefore, he's saying here that if houses in Yerushalayim cannot get Nagaim, cannot get Saras, and really houses in Yerushalayim are not owned by any specific Shevet, that land was never given to them, therefore it sounds like really Yerushalayim is communal land, and therefore it sounds like the synagogues in Yerushalayim should not be able to be sold because they should be communal. So, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Ani lo shamati ela makom mikdash bilvad. He says, no, I didn't hear that about all of Jerusalem, I only heard it about the Temple Mount. Only on the Temple Mount, that's considered, that was never given to any specific Shevet. And therefore, He says that Yerushalayim would not be a problem to sell shuls because you could own them because it could be on your land. That's why it's relevant here. Now we end up into a tangent kind of about this machlokas here between whether it's just all of Yerushalayim that was not given to the Jewish people, right? It was rather communal land almost, or just the Temple Mount. How about the knisios or about the midrashos mitamin? Am I? How the krachin hava? Right? He says here that the shuls and base midrash, how can they be metame? How can base shuls and base midrashes ever get be metame, i.e. get saraz? Aren't they, right? Amai, had the krachin havu. They're owned by, they're part of the whole city, right? They're part of this whole city structure. So, 1 second. Right, so it says here, Amai, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ani lo shemasi el mekam mekudash bilvad. Right, so that was a kashan on Rabbi Yehuda said it was just the Temple Mount. We said, what do you mean? It's all the shuls and all the base ministries. So he rephrases his words and he says not makom hamikdash, but makom mekudash, any holy place. He's saying that's what was never given over, and that's what's owned by the public, and therefore it wasn't achuzatchem, and therefore it couldn't get zarat. So then the Gemara asks, v'maikamiflagei, what's really the machlok is going on here? Tanakama savar lo nislaka Yerushalayim l'shvatim. Right, the Tanakama thought that Yerushalayim was never given out. Right, we know all of Eretz Yisrael, the time of Yehoshua, was divided into different shvatim, at different parts of Eretz Yisrael. And the Tanakama, the first opinion, believes that Yerushalayim was never divided. It was always kind of owned communally by the whole Jewish people. And therefore it wouldn't be beit achuzatchem, and therefore it couldn't get sarad, and therefore it's almost owned by no one, and therefore you shouldn't be able to sell the shuls. Rabbi Yehuda savar nischalka Yerushalayim l'shvatim. No. Yerushalayim was divided by the groups. And then the Gemara, now we kind of leave the whole thing about shuls, and we're on to this talk about, was Yerushalayim divided or not divided? You'll see as we go through this stuff, then the rest of the stuff, and the Amud and a half left, I found, there's a lot of different topics discussed, and not a lot of conclusions come to. Kind of leaves a lot of discussions in the middle. Uplugta Dahani Tanai. It says, this machlokas about whether or not Yerushalayim was ever given over to the Shvatim or not, is actually not a new machlokas between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. It's actually an old machlokas that was discussed in the Tanaim, where here's the two brises that disagree with each other. For brisa number one, the Tanya, Ma Haya Bechelko Shel Yehuda, what was part of Yehuda's inheritance? Harabais, or the Temple Mount, Halishkos, the chambers of the Temple, Vehazaros, right? And some of the other areas, right? The Rashis here get into long descriptions of what all these places are. I don't want to get so detailed on it. Just different parts of the Beis Hamikdash were given to Yehuda. That's the main point, that Yehuda did have a piece of Yerushalayim and maybe even a piece of Har Bayis itself. Umayya b'chelkel shel Binyamin. And what did Binyamin get? Binyamin got the Ulam, the Hechel, and the Batik, and Beit Kodshei HaKadoshim, right? And the Holy of Holies. I.e., the point here is that even the Har Bayis itself was divided between Yehuda and Binyamin, two different Shvatim. So, of course, it would be Beit Achuzatchem. And now the Gemara goes on kind of a tangent. There was this thin strip of land that came out of the part of the ownership that was Yehuda's into the ownership of Binyamin. And the Mizbeach was built on this thin strip of land that was kind of connected the two areas. And actually the Mizbeach was actually in Binyamin in Yehuda's chelek, and Binyamin was in such pain on this, bechol yom, livlo, and every day he wanted to swallow it up. Every day he really wanted this area to be his. He was so jealous that the Mizbeach was on someone else's land, he wanted this holy activity of Korbanos to be on his land. And that is how they interpret an agadic way of interpreting the pasuk, which we read many, many times on Simchas Torah, Shneamar Chofef Alav Kol Yom, right? The one of the brachas, what does it mean, Chofef Alav Kol Yom? He desired it all day, right? That was the bracha that his father gave him, that Yaakov Avinu gave him. In this agadic version, what's he Chofef? He's Chofef, this part of the Beit HaMikdash, this land on the Temple Mount. L'fichach zacha binyamin v'nasa ushpizchan l'shchina. Look at the Rashi there. What does it mean? Sha'aron v'chelko. Because he had such a holy desire, right? It was almost like a holy jealousy that he wanted the Mizbeach to be in his land. Hashem going ahead and put the Aron in his chelek. Okay, that was Brisa number one, proving that there is that Yerushalayim is divided between Shvatim. And what about the opinion, the other Tanaic of the other Brisa that says Yerushalayim was divided amongst the tribes? It says here, Tanya, Ein maskirin batim Yerushalayim b'nei she'ena shelahen. Look at Rashi, where's in maskirin? Balabatim et batam le'olei raglayim, elabachinam notnim lahem anachnasim l'tochan. He's talking about Airbnb, right? He's talking about when you come to Yerushalayim for the Shlosh Regalim, right? Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos. All the whole Jews in the whole country come. Where are they all going to stay? So they're going to have to rent rooms in the homes of the people who live in Yerushalayim, right? So says this bright, so they're not allowed to rent them. They have to let you stay for free. Why can't you rent a room in your own house? Because the house is not yours, right? The house is not really yours. You use the house. But the land is really owned by the whole Jewish people. And therefore your guest is just really as entitled to the bed as you are. Because it's not really yours.
So could you sell it?
That's a great question. Rabbi Akiva Bar Tzadok Omer, Aflomitos, you can't even rent out a bed. Never mind renting out a house. And therefore the Gemara gives some advice as a guest. As an oreach lefichach, oros kodshim, balei ushpizin. Therefore, it is proper derech eres. Of Bal Yushpizin of guests, notli notan bizroa. Sorry, I was one line ahead of myself. Lefichach oros kochim Bal Yushpizin notli notan bizroa. Therefore, since they're not allowed to receive payment for basically letting you crash in their house, this minhag developed that the oros kodoshim, the skins of the animals that were brought as the Korban Pesach, and other animals that were brought up, mostly the Korban Pesach, they basically, that the homeowners basically forcibly took them, right, as payment. You weren't allowed to pay them, so they basically took the skins of the animals you were shechting as their payment. Amar Abaye gives us some advice as guests. Shmamina orach aratz, proper derech eretz, lemishvak inish gulfa umashcha beushpizi. Then that you should leave over your jug, or your animal hide when you're a guest, i.e. you should leave some sort of tip or some sort of gift for your host if you're not able to pay them. Amar Rava, lo shanu ela shalomachru shiva tuvi ha'ir d'mamad ansheir. Ava machru shiva tuvi ha'ir d'mamad ansheir afilu l'mishta be shechra shapir dami. Going all the way back to a new part to discuss the beginning part of the Gemara, we have a new clause. We said that if you sell the...
It was the town center,
right,
then
you sell
it went
the
to
town
the synagogue,
square,
and then it went
exactly.
to...
Exactly. So here it's specifically referring, probably, really selling any of these things. We said the money is more Kodesh, you have to buy the holier things. We have a big caveat on that all night. It says that is all true only if... That's only true if the seven elders of the city sold it without the presence of the townspeople there. But if the seven elders of the city sold it with the townspeople there and approving the sale, then you can even use the money for whatever you want. And obviously the Gemara's example is the Mishta Beishichra, as it says here in the top Rashi on the next page, Kaf Vav Amud Bet, Liklot Bedamim Lasot Shecher Lishtos. You can go ahead and go to the bar and buy beer with the money from your Aron Kodesh, from your Sefer Torah, from your city square, from your shul, as long as it was sold with the whole city's permission.
Kiddush.
There you go. Ravina Havale Hahu Tila Debe Knishta Ata Lakami Derav Ashi. So he now gives us a little example. What's the story here? That Ravina had a heap, right? Had a heap on his property. Mm-hmm. That was an old Beit Knishta, that was an old shul, right? Basically a pile of rubble from an old shul. And Asel Kamei Rav Ashi, he came to Rav Ashi with a question. Amar Le Ha'oma L'Mizrei. Am I allowed to go ahead and plant or sow on this land? Basically, can I, you know, does this heap even have still some Kedusha, or can I totally ignore it and plant over it? Amar Le Zil Zimnei Meshiva Tuvei Ir. Go and stand in front of the seven elders of the city, b'mamad ansheir, in front of all the townspeople of the ear, and properly acquire this land from them, and then it won't have any more kedusha, and you'll be able, right, vizra, and then you'll be able to go ahead and sow or plant on it, i.e. a proof that the system of the seven elders selling in front of all the townspeople works. New topic, Rami Bar Abba, Hava Ka B'nei Bei Knishta, right? So Rabbi Bar Amma went ahead and he built a new shul, right, to replace an old shul. Hava Hai Knishta Atika, right? He went in and had to build a new shul and the point of his new shul was to replace the old shul. Hava bei lemisterei, he wanted to go ahead and demolish the old shul. Vela'asve livne ukshure mine ve'ile lahasam. But why did he want to go ahead and take bricks and beams from the old shul and use them to help build the new shul, right? So Yasiv, he sat v'kame ba'ale ha d'Rav Chista. But he sat and he wasn't sure if he was allowed to do this because he had in his mind the statement of Rav Chista. What did Rav Chista say? The Amar Rav Chista l'listor be'knishta adibane be'knishta achrisi. Rav Chista said a statement, you may not demolish the old shul until you build a new shul. Why? Hasam mishum pshiusa, because of negligence. Look at the Rashi, last wide line on the page. Mishum pshiusa shema yivsha v'yitiyayesh v'loivana acher. You know, we all know the story. You destroy the old building, and then you can't raise the funds, and then you get busy, and then you never get around to it, and the new one never gets built. So basically saying, don't destroy the old building until you have the new one. You know, it's like Yankee Stadium. You can't destroy the old one until the new one's ready to roll. Right? Ki hai gavna mai. But the question that Rami Bar Abba had himself is, my case apply. I know there's this rule, I can't destroy the old building until the new building. But my situation is unique. Why is it unique? Because I'm not just destroying the old building to build a new building. I need to destroy the old building to take the bricks and the beams to build the new building.
Yeah.
So as the coming to Rav Papa. He asked Rav Papa this question, v'asarle. He said, nope, you can't do it. You don't get an exception. Lakme de Rav Huna v'asarle. He also went to Rav Huna, which is a great question. How he's allowed to ask the same thing to two rabbis. I think we're told we're not supposed to do that. And Rav Huna also asered him. So he was told he does not get any exception in this case. New situation. Amar Rava. Hai be knishta chalufa uzvuna shari. So now we have statements that we're going to have a bunch of five or six statements of Rava. Hai be knishta chalufa v'zvuna shari. He says if you exchange or sell a shul, that's okay, and it's no more kedusha. Ugura umeshkuna aser, but if you rent or mortgage out a shul, then that's a problem. That's aser because there's still kedusha there, and therefore you don't know what they're going to be using it for.
Mm.
This kind of seems to go against what we learned in the beginning of the Mishnah, but maybe the case here is you sold it with the 7-2 ve'ir in front of the whole city. Doesn't clarify. My taima, what's the reason for this distinction between renting and selling or exchanging and mortgaging? Bekedusha sakai. Right, it's exactly what we said. That if you sell it, or if you exchange it, you're basically saying this is no longer holy, has no kedusha anymore. But if you just rent it out, it's still a shul. Right? And therefore the kedusha is still there, and therefore it's asur because you don't know how they're going to treat it, and they might not treat it properly. Livne nami chalufinhu uzvuninhu shari. Again, the same thing for the bricks of a shul. If you want to go ahead and exchange the bricks or sell the bricks, it's fine. But if you want to lend them out, right? Ozuf yinhu asur. You can't do that. As if you lend them out, they still are considered bricks of a shul. Hane mili bida atika. That is all true if the bricks were actually part of a shul. Avachadisa leislan hibba. If they're brand new bricks and you brought them for the shul, but they're still sitting on the pallet and they've never been used, then it's not a problem. They're just considered regular bricks. They don't have any kedusha yet. They've never been in the walls of a shul. But what about lafiluman da amar hazmana milsehi? Right, what about if there seems to be a machlokas somewhere else in Shas, but hazmana milsehi or hazmana lav milsehi? Hazmana, invitation. If I buy bricks and they're just bricks, fine, everyone agrees they're just bricks. But if I go to Home Depot and I order 1,000 bricks and I say, these bricks are going to be used for my shul, and now they're still sitting in the pallet, can I go ahead and build a Dunkin' Donuts with them?
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like the Gemara said yes. But the Gemara says, what about if you believe in Hasmana, that Hasmana works, Milsehi, that if I say that these bricks are for a shul, don't they have to be for a shul? Gemara says, no. But Filuman Amar Hasmana Milsehi, even if you believe that Hasmana is a thing, that declaring something matters. Hanimile Kigon Haoreg Beged Lameis. That's true if you have some wool or some material, and you say, I'm going to use this to turn it to Tachrichin, to turn it to clothes for a dead person. Which is has some kedusha. Avohacha ketavil arig dami. These bricks are not considered like wool that's going to be used, and they're more like it's not considered like thread that you're going to use for clothing. It's more considered like the wool that still has to be spun, that still has to be used, right? because it's like two steps removed. And we'll see this idea of two steps removed as we move in. You know, if you have cloth, he's saying I'm going to use this for tachrichin, that's one step. If you say I have thread that has to be turned into cloth that has to be used for tachrichin, it's two steps away. And therefore, he says here you have bricks that have to be first used for shul, then that shul has to be used for kedusha. So it's still two steps away. So even if you had in mind that they're going to be built for a shul, it's still not a problem, even if you believe hazmana milsehi. Kigon de arig dami veleka leman de amar. And therefore we don't have to be worried, no matter what, the bricks can still be used. Okay, next case. Masna. What's a masna? Look in Rashi. Not nu b'nei ir beis haknesses l'tashmushei chol. What happens? A gift, right? If the townspeople gift their shul to you, to live in. They gift their shul to Dunkin' Donuts, to open up a coffee store. Right? What's the story with that? Pligi by Rav Acha v'Ravina. Rav Acha and Ravina had a machlokas. Chad Asur v'chad Shari. One said it is Asur to do that. You can't use a kadosh place for a coffee house, or for any other purpose. And one says, no, it's not a problem. Man da Asur b'hai right? Hai tifka kedushasa. The one that says it's Asur, he says, what did you redeem the kedusha onto? Right? It's almost like Meiser, right? If you're going to be poda it, has to go onto a coin. And in this case, he's saying if you're going to put the kedusha of the shul into the money, then fine, you're going to spend the money on another shul, on a base midrash, on something. We'll see later, actually, if you're allowed to spend it on a base midrash. Here he's saying if you just gift it to someone, how can they use it for whatever they want? They didn't put the kedusha onto anything. They can't just have the kedusha disappear. Umanda shari, but the one who says it's okay to give it to Dunkin' Donuts or whatever else, I love to have a lehanamine, lehavi yalivle, lehadnar havi le masna, Kizvini. He says, no, a gift is like a sale because you're not stupid. You're not going to gift a shul to someone for no reason. You must be getting something back in return, whether it's a favor, whether it's property, whether it's a future promise of something. And therefore, that kedusha is going on to something else. It's not just disappearing, even though it's not necessarily explicit what it's going on to. Fine. Next discussion. No, there's no conclusion to that, machlokas. Tanu Rabbanan. Tashmishe mitzvah nizrakin, tashmishe kedusha nignazim. Right, this is very practical. If you have a tashmish of a mitzvah, that can get thrown in the garbage. Okay, the Rama says just get thrown in the garbage in a respectful way. You know, you shouldn't just throw it in with the dirty diapers. You should wrap it in a bag or something. But if you have tashmishe kedusha, we'll explain what these things are. That needs gniza, needs shemos. You can't put that in the garbage. What's the difference? What's some examples? Elu and tashmishe mitzvah. What are tashmishe mitzvah? A sukkah, a lulav. A shofar, tzitzis, those things are tashmishei mitzvah. They help you do mitzvot. They don't have inherent kedusha in them. They can go in a regular garbage can. Again, hopefully in a respectful way. Ve'elu han tashmishei kedusha. But what actually supports kedusha? Delus kamei svarim. If you have a sack that holds books. Books, again, don't mean books. They mean scrolls. You know, if you have a case for your megillah, that's tashmishei kedusha. You can't put that in the garbage can. Tefillin. Umezuzos, right? Sacks that hold your tefillin. Your tefillin cases, your mezuzah cases, those all are tashmishe kedusha. They can't go in the garbage. Vatik shel sefer Torah, any container that holds a sefer Torah. Unartik shel tefillin, the case for your tefillin. Vertuosan, and if you have something that holds your straps. Amar Rava, mereish hava amina, hai krusya tashmishehu. Vishari, what's a kursaya? A kursaya, Rashi says here, is a bima shel eitz. Right? You have the bima that you hold the Torah on, the shulchan, that holds the Torah. At first, he says, again, a new topic here, he says, at first I thought it was tashmish to tashmishu, and therefore shari. Shari means I could use it forever I want. And it's actually very relevant. I was thinking about it in terms of a shiva minyan. Right? He's saying, at first I thought you have the shulchan, and then you have a beautiful velvet cloth on top of it, and then you have the fancy plastic thing as an extra, right? And then the Torah goes on that. So the Torah is not really sitting on the table, it's sitting on the velvet. And therefore,
it's not even sitting on the velvet, it's sitting on the plastic.
Right, okay, so let's say you only have one cover. So fine, so then, if I want to go ahead and take off the plastic, I could use the shulchan to eat dinner on, right? But he says here, kevan dechazina, de mosfe alvaya, sefer Torah, amina tashmishi gushir v'aser. He says, if you look at Rashi, de mosfe sefer Torah laya, but lo mapa. I saw sometimes they go ahead and they use the shulchan with nothing, wood, Torah, right? And so I saw they go ahead and put the Torah right on there, and they say, no, that the shulchan therefore actually has kedusha. I was thinking about this in terms of a shiva house. I'm not sure how this really works, but if you take a dining room table and you put the Torah on it, does that make the Torah? I mean, maybe it's because it's a kri, right? It's only once every, once hopefully in 7 days or two or three times, so hopefully not in a long time. But if you put the Sefer Torah right on the table, I wonder, does that make that Kedusha? Maybe that's why you put the Talis down. But then I wonder, we just said, Tashmishi Mitzvah, it could go in the garbage. But if you have a Talis that's always wrapped around the Torah, for Shiva houses, for transferring, does that Talis now become, could that Talis be Tashmishi Kedusha? I wonder, because the Torah also has its own parochas, so maybe not. Okay, so he says here that he changed his mind when he saw that the Shulchan was not always being used with a cover, and therefore it became Tashmishi Kedusha and was asked to use it for anything not Kadosh or to use the or to get rid of it. Excuse me. First wide line, middle of it. Ama Rava Mareish Havamina Haya Prisa Tashmish Tashmishahu. Kevan de Chazina de Aifile Umeneche Sifra Alaihu Amina Tashmish Kedushu Vasir. Same case, except this time with a Prisa. A Prisa, as Rashi explains, is a Yeria. It's some inside curtain of the Aron Kodesh, and at first he thought it was just an inside curtain of the Aron Kodesh. You know, it was just there to be pretty. It was a tashmish to tashmish. No thing actually sat on it, and therefore he thought it was okay to use for other purposes. But Nenver says, "Kevin de Chazina de Aifile." I don't really understand, but somehow they bent this curtain. I guess obviously the curtain is flexible, and they would actually rest the Torah on the curtain itself. Then they saw it was not a tashmish to tashmish; it was actually a tashmish to kedusha itself, and asur to use it for anything else or to get rid of it in a non-respectful way, without chamos. Amar Rava, I mean, it would need to go in Geniza. Amar Rava, hi tivusa de irfat. Well, what's a tiyuva de irfat? Look at Rashi. You had a broken Aron Kodesh, and you wanted to go ahead, and Me'ivda Teva Zutre Shari. You want to make a smaller Aron Kodesh, right? Rashi says, Tivta Zutre, Lasos Teva Ktana Min Gedola Harishona. You want to make a smaller one. Take the broken pieces of the bigger one, make a smaller one. That is Mutar. Right? Kursaya Asur. But you may not go ahead and turn the broken pieces of an Aron Kodesh into a Shulchan, because that would be going down to Kedusha. Ama Rava, I Prisa Divla. You have this tattered curtain. The Prisa that we're talking about before. The Me'avde Prisa L'Sifrei Shari. If you want to go ahead and turn it into a parochas for Sefer Torah, that's fine. L'Chumashin Aser. But to make it for a Chumash, here a Chumash does not mean an archal Chumash. A Chumash means 1/5 of the scrolls, like just a breishit, yeah. Just a shmos. You may not go ahead and make a parochas for just that if you used to be a parochas for whole Torah, because that'd be going down. Again, Amar Rava, Rava's the man of the hour here. Hane Zvile Dechumshe. Right, if you had sacks that held, again, these Chumashim, these 1/5 of the Torah, U Kamtare de Sifre Kedusha Ninhu Nigzan, and cases which hold other, you know, Svarim of Tanakh, right, they are considered Tashmisha Kedusha Ninhu, and they have to be going in Geniza, they cannot go in the red garbage. Gemara says, Pshita, I already knew that. You already told me that. Why are you telling me again? Mao de tema hane lav l'chavod avdinan l'netrune ba'alma avdine kamash milan. At first, I thought they weren't for kavod. I thought they were just for safeguarding. Or they were just completely practical. And therefore, I thought that maybe you could actually go ahead and put these in the garbage can. He says, no. Even though they are mostly practical, they're still a little bit for kavod. And therefore, they're still kadosh. And therefore, they still need kniza. Hahu beik nishta dihudi romi dehava patich lahu idarna dehava machis beimes. Here's a very bizarre case, completely different topic. You had a certain shul, right? A shul of Roman Jews. And what did it have? It had a hole in the wall, or it was connected to another building. Right? Patich lahu, a certain idruna, a certain chamber, dehava machis beimes, which had a dead body in it. Vahava, the havu be kahane, then mial letzuli hasam, and there were kohanim who wanted to come daven in shul. Mm-hmm. So the question was, are they allowed to come daven in shul when there's an opening to another room which has a dead body in it? Mm. The answer is no. So asu amrule rule rava. So they came to ask rava, what should they do? Amar lehu dalu tivusa the osvuha. They should pick up the aron, right, and they should put it down in the doorway, blocking the entrance between the two rooms. And therefore, the Aron, since it's a permanent structure, is not makabel tuma, right? It says here, v'havalei kli eitz, it's made of wood, v'asuri lenachas, it's made to sit in one place and not to move. It's not really a movable object, but you choose to move it into the doorway, V'kli'etz ha'sui l'nachas, and a kli'etz, a wooden object, which is not removable, and a mekabel tuma. It's not mekabel tuma, and also it's chotzetz mipnei tuma. It's a barrier. It's like a machitza between the dead body and the kohanim want to pray, and then the kohanim will be able to come to shul. Amar le rabbanan le rabba, but then the rabbis disagreed with Rabba and said, v'hazmanin demetaltele le kimanach sefer Torah alayu, v'havale metaltele mala v'rekam. Pretty interesting scenario. The rabbi said to him, it's not so true what you're saying. What you're saying, the facts are true, but the metzias is not correct. We've seen that often people will go ahead and move an Aron Kodesh, whether it's full or whether it's empty, to go ahead and put the Torah on top of the Aron Kodesh and almost use it like a shulchan and lane from on top of the Aron Kodesh. And therefore, it's almost more like a bima and it gets zoomed around the place. So the rabbi agreed. He said, Ihachi lo efshar. If that's really the metzias, that the Aron Kodesh gets moved around, then I retract my previous statement and you cannot go ahead and be chotzetz, make a distinction between the two rooms, and if you have to find another solution, otherwise the kohanim can't come and pray. New case. Amar Mar Sutra, Mipachos Svarim Shivalu. Right, you had these tattered paroches, or tattered covers, cloth covers of certain scrolls. Osin osan tachrichin lemeis mitzvah. V'zohi genizas. And the proper way to make them into genizas is to turn these paroches into the tachrichin of a person who dies with no relatives. Amarava sefer Torah shivala, a worn out Torah that needs to go into Kenizah. Gonzino so etzel Talmud Chacham, you should bury him in a grave with the Talmud Chacham. And he says, Vafilu shona halachos, even not the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world, just someone who's kvei itim la Torah, someone who learns a little Torah every day. They can be buried with a Torah scroll. Amarava achar bar Yaakov b'chli cheres, shneamar, unetatem kli cheres leman yamdu yamim rabim. As pasuk in Yirmiyahu that tells us that you should put it into a kli cheres so that it can last a lot of days. And they learn from this that a Torah scroll, when it's buried, should be buried in an earthenware vessel. Again, even though it goes on Genizan, it's going to decompose. You want to decompose as slowly as possible for to show respect, and therefore you put it in an earthenware vessel and then you bury it in that. Rav Papi Mashmei de Rav. I referenced this a few minutes earlier, the last thing we're going to discuss today. Are you allowed to sell a shul and use the money to buy a base midrash? So Rav Papi said in the name of Rav, from a shul to base midrash is okay. But from a Mibay Rabbanan, Mibay Knesh is asir, but you cannot sell a base midrash and build a shul. He's saying that a base midrash is holier than a shul. Rav Papa mashmei de Rava masnei ipchai. But then Rav Papa, Rav Papi said Beis Midrash is holier, can't buy a shul, but a shul could buy a Beis Midrash, and Rav Papa says, no, a shul is holier, that a shul could not be used to buy a Beis Midrash, but a Beis Midrash could be sold and the money could be used for a shul. Amar Rav Acha, on to Kav Zayin, we'll finish off the next two lines. Amar Rav Acha, Kavasei de Rav Papi Mestaber. He said Rav Papi is more Mestaber, that the Beis Midrash is holier. Why? Dam Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Beis HaKnesses Mutur Lassos Beis HaMidrash, Mamina, that a base Knesset can be turned into a base midrash, and therefore learn from here that a base midrash is holier, and you could sell a shul and buy a base midrash, but not sell a base midrash and buy a shul.